When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the best of The Run Home with Joel and Fletch. Catch them weekdays for the all-new Hyundai Kona.
Welcome back to the best of The Run Home with Joel and Fletch. Here's more with the great Matty Johns.
Do you know what, Fletch? And you're spot on. I reckon that was the big difference with the Roosters. Is that, like, is that Joey Manu plays so much off the top of his head and so reactive. And sometimes, a lot of times, he just calls the ball. He doesn't know if there's anything on, but just goes and takes him on with his natural talent and pokes his nose through. And then Brandon, oh, that's the best game Brandon's played for a couple of seasons, a couple of years, because of Manu poking his nose through. And the other thing about it, why Manu has such a big impact there and why he was so good, is that we're in the age of hyperstructure all the time. And teams defend as a collective, and they want to, a defence line wants to defend as a collective. It's a lot easier. But if a bloke like Joey Manu just gets the ball, and you see it with Munster and Jerome Hughes, just picks one bloke and just takes him on one-on-one, you're isolating blokes, and the team is not defending as a collective. So a lot of times, like, you need principles and you need structure to fall back on. But sometimes it's so underrated, a player with speed and footwork just getting the ball and just attacking a bigger bloke just straight and direct. And I know the big blokes hate it.
Mm. I was chatting to Titsy Holbrook yesterday, Justin Holbrook, and he was saying, you know, the remarkable thing about Joey Manu, he said he's churns out the 300 metres, 400 metres, but he's not a bloke who's ever won the 800s or the fitness drills. It's just never. But when he gets onto the field, the competitor in him.
Justin Hodges.
Yeah.
Justin Hodges.
Was he the same?
Was the weakest in the gym I've ever seen.
Really?
Like, I said, we used to do the bench, and he would be lucky to press 60. I said, you're G-ing up, Hodjo. Yeah. He goes, man, I can't. But then, trying to tackle him, it's just a total... Some players are footy strong.
Yep.
Some aren't in the gym. So I was both.
Yeah.
I was both. I'm going to put push-ups now.
Hey, push-up challenge. Hypothetically, right? So, and Brandon Smith played out of his skin, but there's that go forward. He needs that rolling bowler, and he's often racing from dummy half. Hypothetically, you knew the Roosters had won the comp. What was the back line looking like in the key positions?
Look, Tedesco will be there, Joel.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. He'll be fullback. He'll go into it. It would be trying to... and Fletch spoke about this last night, and I totally agree. If Joey Manu is not going to play fullback, then he plays on the wing. You've got so much more ability to float in and out of the game like Manu does and just investigate on the wing as opposed to centre. And I think that's where you play him. That's if you're not going to play him full, but that's where you play him. Look, it's funny. If you just basically arrived at Roosters training and sat there and just said, righto, pick me the best side, and you had no idea about the personalities and the players and everything, you probably would pick Manu at fullback. Mm. But just what Teddy's done over a long time, he's the skipper of the club, so on and so forth. It'll be a big decision from Trent Robinson, and look, it's one that he won't make.
No.
But I like what you're saying, Fletch, because a bit like the Panther model, if you've got Teddy carrying it and you've got Tupu carrying it, and you've got Joey Manu who's got a bit more license to leave that side bump around, that brings Brandon Smith, that brings Spencer Lenu when he comes back. Mm. I know I use the term rolling bowler, but they're off and racing, aren't they?
Well, and Keary played better.
Yeah.
It helped Keary's game.
I tell you who it would help. It'd help Sam Walker.
Yep.
Yes.
Going off the top of your head, sort of, it's a bit confusing. You don't know what you're doing. Quick play the balls, let him go. That's his bread and butter.
100%.
And do you know, boys, I think it takes sometimes a lot of discipline to keep playing simple. Right, to have a successful formula, and like the Roosters played so much more simple the other night against the Knights. Now, it's a discipline for Trent Robinson and his coaching staff to go to training this week and keep it simple, if you know what I mean. Mm. You know, like, so I think the enemy sometimes of teams, when they've got a winning formula, is ball work. Like, going in and then going to bet your attacking sequences and ball work and everything sort of pushes you back towards structured football. Where the Roosters this year have played their best football when there's been probably the majority off the top of their head.
Yep. I reckon if you break up every try in the NRL, most of it is not contrived.
No.
Most of it is a little bit of chaos. But just back on the Joey Manu thing, the best example's Zach Lomax.
Yeah.
Like the Dragons are getting a stack more out of him on the ding-a-ling than what they get out of centre, isn't it?
I don't know if Jack's just got a sort of traditional way of thinking, or he's come through as a fullback, as a centre, and he just goes, no. And he definitely feels in himself that playing on the wing is a demotion.
Yeah, stigma.
He must.
I think it's a young...
Could not be further from the truth.
That's right. But I think it's, you know what I reckon it is? Number on his back.
That's what I honestly
believe.
Well, mate, pick whichever number you want out of 13,
but
Jack.
But, you know, so I've played with some players who wouldn't wear a different number.
Yeah.
I don't know, was it superstition or what? Stevie Wonder.
But, like, if you look at, like, Zach, this puts a bit of, like, going to another club, when you sit down to go to another club and you speak to the coach who's trying to lure you to that club, right, and say, come on, you don't really get the true indication of the case. Right, Brad Arthur's probably said to him, mate, you come to this team, you're going to play centre. But then what happens if Zach goes there and he's struggling at centre? Mm. And all of a sudden Brad Arthur goes, geez, I tell you what he was doing for Flano last year on the wing, you know, I might have to put him there. Then what does, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and he's cost himself $150,000.
Yeah, but what else?
Yeah.
What happens if like, it's a 4-year deal? What if Brad's not there for 4 years?
Yeah.
What if Flano
signs it?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be yuck.
Oh,
and then Brad goes to the Dragons.
Oh, and you'd have to go and have dinner with him again.
I'd scream his skull.
Oh, dear, oh dear. Hey, Matty, we've got the Masters on here, and a lot of people say, that's the bucket list. You know, I want to go to the Masters. And
I do.
Is that your one?
Definitely now.
What's yours, Matty? What sporting event do you need to go to?
Not the Masters.
No. It'd be something weird in, like, Siberia or something.
Mate, he'd be running the Bulls in Pamplona or something, wouldn't you?
No, he
doesn't. Oh, I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
I'd love to watch people do it. I would love to go to Barcelona, Real Madrid. Mm. I'd like that. I've never been to, like, a Liverpool Everton game. A Merseyside derby would be good as well.
Blue or red.
I was listening. Speaking of your podcast recommendation, Matty, Simon Jordan, up front. So I listened to the Robbie Fowler, then I listened to Stuart Broad, and then I listened to the Michael Owen one. He is an odd character. Mm.
He's an odd cat, isn't he?
They're all on themselves, these soccer players. On themselves.
I know.
There is no modesty in any of them.
So Simon Jordan is what? He's a...
He was a journo, and then he became an owner of Crystal Palace. Mm. And now... He just does these podcasts and stuff, but he's a very good interviewer. He sucks information.
He's very, very good. He just, mate, he really puts him on the spot. I tell you something, we're talking about Liverpool there. Here's a bit of something for you boys. An American film company is in Newcastle at the moment doing a special on like a documentary movie on Craig Johnston and the invention of the Predator boot.
Wow.
Oh, that's right, because he invented that, didn't he?
Yeah, how did he come up? What made him think about that?
Right. So when he came back, he was playing. How long we got here? We've got about 3 minutes, boys.
Yeah, got a couple, two
we
minutes.
Tourists, we've got a couple of minutes. Right. So what he was, he was playing for Liverpool, and his sister's husband, he went missing in Morocco, and she went over there to investigate and, you know, try to find him. And there was a gas leak in her hotel. Anyway, she fell and collapsed and has remained since in a really bad way and needed full-time care. So he came back to Australia, and he was coaching a local side in the Northern Beaches at Avalon. Anyway, he was teaching the kids how to bend a soccer ball, right? I hit it a certain way and it bends. Anyway, it was raining this particular day, and one of these young kids said, oh, Mr. Johnson, when it's wet, the ball doesn't – you can't bend the ball. And he had immediately had this epiphany, said to someone, coach, take over this, drove straight to a sports store, got two ping pong rackets, tore the rubber off it, put it on the boots, and went straight to a field and started bending it. And went, my God. So then took it to Adidas knocked him back. he bought a camcorder and took it to all the best players in the world, filmed them with the boots, and Franz Beckenbauer, the great German, said, this will change soccer forever. And then went back to Adidas and they signed a big deal.
Wow.
And left him out.
Eventually, they didn't look after him. They screwed him a little bit. But he tells a story. The first player ever to wear them were Paul Ince when he was playing for Man United. And he's in a shopping centre. Anyway, a bloke yells out, he says to someone in the shopping centre, what's the score? And he said, mate, 1-0 Man United. And he goes, who scored? And he said, Paul Ince.
Oh.
He said, you're kidding. He ran to a television. He scored with a header.
Oh. Oh, that was a letdown. Oh, that's like kissing your sister.
Yeah.
Real letdown.
Matty, great stuff. Yeah. Outstanding.
Mark, Robbie.
Outstanding.
Righto, boys.
Righto, mate.
See you, mate.
That's just brilliant.
See you, lads.
1300 011 70. Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. A staple on your Mondays. Sats and the Rat. Take it away, fellas. They join the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. G'day, gents.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Very
good. Going good, boys.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? What's going on?
Happy birthday.
Yeah, for last week, Fletchy, boys.
Thank you, boys. Thank you very much.
Hello. You feel any different?
Yeah. No, not really. I got an Apple Watch. Britt bought me an Apple Watch. It's two echoes. Like, it's too much going on.
Well, I got one of those. I gave it to my wife. Yeah, she got me one for Christmas. I just feel really... just beeped every time I moved. Or
And is it bad?
So you're basically saying your wife bought you a crap present.
No, I think my wife bought it for me to get it. Because she knew that, in my backswing, someone rings me and it starts vibrating.
Yeah, that's not your Can't watch. Because I sort of dropped hints saying I want this club, I want a driver.
Mm. Yeah.
And they just totally ignored it. So I got a pair of R.M. Williams shoes, which probably not my sort of go. And an Apple Watch.
Get around them though, Brian.
I'm going to get around them.
Yeah, they're
good.
The
RMs.
Yeah, I'll get around them. Don't worry. But the Apple Watch. So is it wrong if I think about selling it or do I just leave it in the top drawer?
Nah, sell it.
Sell it?
Nah, sell it. Get your driver. Sell it. What sort of driver are you after?
I want this PXG driver. It's actually from Beaver's store. I don't know if Beaver's still got the Pure Golf. You know how Beaver's.
Oh, yeah,
yep, yep.
And but it's Beast's driver.
Well, we like Mizuno here, don't we, tourists?
Yeah. Well, maybe Mizuno could knock on the door. Maybe Mizuno could just go, hey, Bear's Head.
Hello.
I've got a Bear's Head.
Maybe we can get you a pair of Ringers Western boots.
Geez. Yeah, that's another one.
Tailor-made driver.
Yeah.
Can sort you out.
No ding. No. No ding. Our boys, Gold Coast. Goodness me, I felt sorry for them. I felt really sorry.
They tried hard, didn't they?
Well, at least, they're digging in now, which is promising. Hey, can I throw a question at you two? And you know Ricky Stewart really well, Bear's Head.
Yep.
So Cohen threw up a question just earlier on while we're interviewing some people. He just said, Ricky Stewart and Desi Hasler, of course, having a bit of a war of words inadvertently over the some of the adjudication last night. So he said, who do you reckon wins in a street fight? In a bar fight between Ricky and Des Hasler when they were fit and playing?
Desmond.
Really?
Des, do you reckon in a street fight?
Yeah, I think Des would get him on the ground. Because Des was all about doing,
Body weight.
Yeah.
And I think, Ricky would sort of try and poke him in the eyes, like put his thumb in his eyes.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, but not talk him out.
No, but he'd be very vocal.
It'd be Game of Thrones stuff, thumbs in the
eyes. He'd use a bar stool, he'd use a pool cue, he'd use everything, Ricky, wouldn't he?
I need to find, boys, I'll never forget my debut, right? And Ricky Stewart, he tormented Robbie John Simpson for half the game. Like it was the greatest verbal attack where the cameras would keep panning him and he'd still chirping at him. I need for my own self
Robbie
to see
John
this footage.
Robbie John would punch his
face
off.
But that's the whole point. He had no fear.
No.
Can I just say, I think I've told you this, Sugar, before. First game for the Crushers, 95, at Lang Park against the Canberra Raiders, the reigning premiers.
Mm.
And Ricky wouldn't feed the ball in the scrum. And Jeff Wittenberg, whose dad, Johnny Wittenberg, Fingers Wittenberg, played front row for Australia. Early 70s, yeah. And so Jeff Wittenberg was in the front row, and I was at lock. And he wouldn't feed the ball. Jeff Wittenberg stuck his head out and said, Ricky, just feed the effort ball, would you? I said, yeah, Ricky, feed the effort ball. He looked at both myself and Jeff Wittenberg and he said, have a look at you two attempted chips off the old block.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Quick.
Very quick.
Hammered it. Yeah, he's the best.
Oh,
he's the best.
So good. So good.
So what else is happening, guys?
Well, I'll tell you what else is happening. I was just having a look at the new Bond the new Bond.
Oh, yeah, you're
Have
excited
you guys seen
about
the
this?
New Bond?
Who is he?
Margot Robbie. That's not Bond. Hello. She's in it.
Is she?
She's in it. Yeah, mm-hmm. But Henry Cavill.
Cavill,
yeah, he's a Pommy guy, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
Has he got the swagger? Has he got the rig?
Yeah. Mm. Margot Robbie, though, Aussie girl, she's in it. What do you think of Margot Robbie?
Yeah, she's all right. I don't mind. I didn't mind Barbie. Barbie was okay.
She was okay.
I mean, she's
no asleep.
Wolf of Wall Street.
I didn't watch it.
Wolf of Wall Street. That's okay. I mean, she's no Cate Blanchett.
Yeah.
Margot.
No Alicia Silverstone, boys.
No.
What?
Yeah.
No Samantha Fox. No Samantha Fox.
Page three.
Hello, Peter Foster.
Hey, Ratburger, what did you think of the golf? What did you make of Scotty?
Mate, it was Scotty Scheffler. He just did it in a canter, didn't he?
Mate, I had money on Ludwig Åberg.
Yes.
Put one in the water.
But no, he's too good for him at the moment. They can't get him.
Is he, do you think, is he going to be lived? Do you think he'll be livified?
You know the sad thing about it? It's like he's putting up these tigerish numbers.
Oh,
and,
here
and
you go.
No, but I mean, he's not, he's playing
Spoken
against
of
half
like a true
field.
Super leaguer.
He's, you know, there's no John Rahm there. There's no Cam Smith.
Yeah, but you don't play against the other players. You play against the elements in yourself.
No. In golf? In this sats, what you play against are other people, and you try to win it because you get a green jacket if you win. Not everyone gets a green jacket sats. Mm. That's how golf works.
We just know the live players were non-existent in the final five.
There's three of them in the top 10.
Yeah. So
why are you all aboard live?
I'm all aboard live.
He's a Super League man, mate.
And he's calling it.
I know he's calling. He's going back down again. But what is it about live that you like?
Well, it's not what I like about
live. Is it the shorts that they wear while playing?
It's about. I actually wanted to get back together.
You're looking at men in shorts. That's what it is, isn't it?
But what I do, like, understand, and you would understand, well, you may not understand, but back in the day when Super League all went down, there was a lot more money in the game than the players were getting, and Super League rectified that, didn't it?
It did.
They got the money back into the game. The players were remunerated properly.
No one talked about the Super League grand final.
No, well, I don't really care about that.
Yeah. Well, remember the 97... ARL Grand Final, though.
I don't. Yeah. Who played in it?
You know.
But what I'm saying, but you know, every now and then there's got to be a shake-up to make it right.
True.
And that, this is golf's shake-up.
Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. I'm telling you, Brian, the Kiwis are Michaels. Absolute Michaels. We found another one.
Yeah, Ian Fozzie Foster. What a great chat. And he's got one of the all-time world-class players going to play. Is he going to play fullback? Is he going to play centre? He could maybe even play number 10.
Joseph Manu.
Well, what a treat this is. A two-prong attack, they call it in Japan, Brian. I'm not sure of the local words used for that, but it's a two-prong attack.
Yes.
So it's all
I read the Art of War.
Yeah, you did?
I did read the Art of War.
Did you now?
I think this is it. I think that's chapter four,
yes.
Two-pronged attack.
Yes, field of dreams, build it and they will come. But you can have the athlete, Brian, but you can't have the athlete without the coach. Now, the big news coming out today, the two-prong attack is this. Toyota Verblitz have gone on their own Verblitz, Brian. They've got Joseph Manu, the Kiwis fullback. He signed for 2024 and the 2025 season. But here is the little icing on the cake, right? This is what makes Joey Manu tick. Ian Foster. Part of a World Cup campaign back in the day. He's a champion coach, and he's on the line. Ian Foster, welcome to the Run Home with Joel and Fletch.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Big day.
Big day.
What about those conversations behind the scenes, hey?
That wouldn't happen.
Was he going to do it? Oh, mate, I don't know, mate. What do you got up your sleeve? Joey Munn is about to sign. Joey, what do you got up your sleeve? I don't know. Ian Foster's about to sign. Done. Let's go. That you reckon?
Yeah, well, I think at the centre of that little triangle is Steve Hansen. He's obviously someone I've coached a long time with, and he's been in Toyota for 3 years, and I know he's always been a Joey fan, and so he's done the lion's share of the lifting here. And you know, I remember having to talk to New Zealand Rugby about trying to get Joey back at some point, but you know, like, he's passionate about his Roosters team, and you know, I think he's given great service to them, but he's after a new adventure, and we're delighted up in Japan now.
Hey, so Ian, just tell us a little bit about the competition there. What would it compare to? Is it? I wouldn't imagine it's as strong as the New Zealand sort of domestic competition. Is it like a Super Rugby sort of standard?
Yeah, look, it's to be fair. I mean, I'm starting in October, so you know, I'm probably not perfectly qualified, but I know a lot of the guys up there talk a lot to the players. We've got a lot of New Zealanders up there, like Toyota have got Aaron Smith, Bowden Barrett playing there. They've got Peter Steff de Tooy, who is a South African, who's won the last two World Cups. So they've got some quality players spread right through the teams. Effectively, it's company rugby. It's each, you know, the teams are basically part of a company setup. It's taken a long time, but they've been a very ambitious league. They're getting a lot of foreigners in, and but you can only have three on the park at any one time. But they had a pre-season competition against some of the New Zealand franchises in February and won a couple of games and lost a couple. So it's not too far away from Super Rugby. That's all the reports we're getting.
Okay, so when you say three, you can have three imports at any time on the field?
Yep, that's right. Well, three people that are non-eligible to play for Japan. So,
okay, what about in the squad, Ian? How many can you have in the squad? Could you have 10 in the squad and only use three at a time? Or
yeah, you can buy. You can have a few, but okay. I mean, obviously, it's that the purpose of getting the foreign players is to try to add value somewhere, and it's probably not too good having them all sitting in a grandstand. So, I think in Joey's case, it's you know, his conversations, particularly with Steve, of he's just after a new challenge and a bit of a new direction, and you know, he's going to have to take his time a little bit as he learns it, but great place for him to learn, and he's got a great attitude towards that.
Four biggest names, Brian, in Japan's about to be Shohei Ohtani, Hideki Matsuyama, Ian Foster,
yeah,
Joey Manu.
Yes.
There you go.
And what's his name? The surfer. Igarashi.
Oh, yes.
He's the surfer. So
that's right.
Hey, all right, I'm going to ask you, can I ask you this, Ian? Where do you see Joey in rugby union? What position?
Yeah, good question. And being a smart man, I'm going to give the answer that I think's right, which is I don't know. And it's look, I've been through this with like Roger Tuivasa-Sheck the last few years in the All Blacks. You've got really real quality athlete. It's a matter of trying to figure out, you know, one, we'll have conversations with him through the preseason and figure it out. At this stage, he's really a wing fullback centre would be the I mean, in rugby, I'd love to see him at centre down the track with the build and the way he loves getting his hands on the ball and runs at people. Sometimes 15 in rugby, one of the differences is that you really got to get involved in a lot more kicking and probably first receiver type plays than maybe what he's used to. So we're just going to take a step at a time, but you know, reality is he's a great athlete, isn't he? And you see what he does for the Roosters, and we're looking forward to trying to tap into that and utilising where it fit, but certainly in that outside backs at this stage.
Chatting with former All Blacks coach Ian Foster, and what an honour to coach the All Blacks, who not just, you know, New Zealand, this smally populated country, but he's the reverence around...
Hey, go easy.
That's just adding to the rap, but the... The gravitas and the reverence towards that team and that jumper, and for you to be for a number of years coaching that side, Ian, it's a personal huge feat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's from a Kiwi perspective, it's the best job you could have. You know, and I've been sort of 12 years with the All Blacks, 8 years as an assistant through Steve Hansen's era, and 4 years as a head coach. Loved it. You know, I'm still getting over a 1-point loss in last year's World Cup, which hurt a little bit. But you know, reality is, I love the team. I love what it does. But you know, you got to move on, and I'm looking forward to this challenge. You know, one of the guys that I coached with last year in the All Blacks is now coaching the Wallabies. So we all take different paths, don't we? But you've certainly got a winner, Joe Smith, over there from the Wallabies side. I tell you that.
Oh, really? Okay. What do we like about him?
He's very technical. He's got a great understanding of the game, and he'll be relatively non-compromising on what he wants out of the players. Beautiful. So I think you'll enjoy him, but we'll wait and see.
Well, you owe us one because Madge McGuire did win the Pacific Championship for you guys.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Toyota Blitz, tell us about their history. Is this team you're taking on, are they decorated with success? Are they a team who's desperate to chase and find success for the first time? What's their story?
Yeah, they're desperate to chase. They've taken a while to to really get on the rugby train up in Japan. You know, they've had a team for a while, but perhaps haven't taken it seriously. And I think that they've, but Steve Hansen's gone in there, and some of the Japanese people in his company have got a real passion now to build a program from the base up. And I think it's the last two or three years they've done that, and now that's now there's a feeling that they're and have got a really good base and actually going to launch into something. So, you know, they've got a good, you know, everyone will focus on the foreigners who come in, but the real success in the Japan competition is. Is not so much the three foreigners on the field, it's the 12 Japanese on the field. And so you've got to be able to build the base from your Japanese players, and we've got an exciting young group that really wants to push hard and achieve something, and that's why I think it's going to be great for someone like Joey. He's going to be surrounded by people that really want to push forward and achieve something, and if he can contribute to that, then it'll be great for him.
Maybe a little link story between Joey Marnie and yourself, and I played in France for a little limited time, Ian, and the coach at the time was a young aspiring coach called Trent Robinson, and he spoke fluent French. So in that scenario, we'd be over there, and he'd speak to the Frenchies, and he'd rattle off what he wanted to tell them in French, and then in about a couple of minutes, he'd turn to the Aussies and say, righto, boys, we want you to do this, this, and this. Language barrier, is that, you mentioned that, you know, obviously the success will come largely from what you can get out of the local Japanese players. What's the language barrier? Do they all speak English? Do you need to sort of come to the party with the Japanese, or where's that at?
Yeah, no, it's a bit of both. They do speak a little bit of English, and there's obviously translators around, but, you know, high on the list for me is going to be to learn some Japanese, and I've been over there a few times, but I can't say I'm fluent, but I'm going to go and work hard. I think as a coach, you have to. I mean, coaching is so much more about telling, isn't it? It's about relationships and connecting with players. So there's no doubt we're going to have to do that. But, you know, the Japanese scene is very well set up for the foreigners coming in. They have, you know, Toyota's got some great sort of language classes that they'll take us through, and you by the use of translators, and you know, like we've got Aaron Smith, who was the All Black halfback last year for a long, long time, and he's over there and already he's picked up his language. So I had a couple of years in Italy and eventually learned how to speak Italian, so I'm pretty sure I can give it a crack.
Don't use the Italian in no. for the Japanese. That might confuse them.
I reckon I can almost speak Australian too, but that's one of the hardest things to pick up.
Ian, do you know much about the Japanese culture and stuff? Because we hear about how it's all quite respectful. You can't really speak out of turn. Which is totally opposite to, I mean, I've never played rugby union, but rugby league, because you know they wear rat bags. Are you familiar with the sort of the culture the Japanese have?
Yeah, very much so. It is, you know, I think because you're playing for a sports team, but you're also representing a company, and you look at a company like Toyota. Like Toyota's, I think one of the three biggest companies in Japan, which is saying something, and so, you know, your behavior and how you act is actually not, it's not just about being part of a team, it's about being part of something much, much bigger. And so it's critical over there, and about how you behave and how you show respect. You know, that's on and off the park. You'll find crowds you know, I think Toyota played Sun Goliath, which is a Suntory company, recently, and they had biggest crowd in their history, which is about 40,000. But you know, the crowd are quiet. They just watch. They respect. They're quiet for the kickers. It's it is a different scene, but it's you know, in some ways, it's there's some pretty good morals that maybe Aussies and definitely Kiwis could learn a little bit more of when it comes to sport.
The young cowboy, Tommy Chester. G'day, Tommy.
How's it going?
Oh, going good, Tommy. Now, Tommy, have you got your hair up in a bun today? Because I've been noticing your different sort of style of your haircuts. What are you rocking today?
Nah, today she's just flowing. She's low.
Yeah, right. She's a low.
Tell
us the Tommy Chester story. How did you end up at up there at the cows?
Oh well, I've lived here all my life, and I've lived in the same house my whole life, so. It was just lucky enough that cows end up bloody giving me a crack. I was like, I think I signed when I was 19 or 20 in the Young Guns, and then yeah, it sort of happened pretty quick for me from there.
So Tommy, you're 22. So you know, growing up in Townsville, how old were you, and where were you watching that grand final, that famous grand final victory for the Cowboys?
I was down the Strand there at this rock pool. It was a bloody good night. There was people down at the Strand just hooting their horns for friggin' till 1 o'clock in the morning.
How old were you, Tommy?
I would have been maybe 14.
Yeah, well.
Oh, yeah, you would have been into the passion pop. So what does Tommy Chester like to do on his day off? You sound like you like your fishing. You sound like you're a bit of a fisherman, or do you like hunting?
Go spearing a bit.
Oh yeah.
And I've actually just bought a house and I've been renovating.
Oh, so you're quite handy on the tools. You got a trade or anything?
Yeah, I do got a trade. I'm a sign writer by trade.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, so graphic design and stuff like that.
Tommy, if there's a sprint at training, let's call it 60 metres, where's Tommy Chester finishing? Don't be humble. Where are you finishing?
I reckon top three.
Who's the other two?
Beg your pardon?
Who are the other two?
Oh, I'd say Jodeci Baker. He'd be up there. And probably Val Holmes.
If you were going to race against Val Holmes, for example, and you had a bet with him and you won, do you think he would pay? Because I'm hearing very, very tight with the dollar. Very tight with the dollar. Is it? Can you confirm that, Thomas?
Yes, he is tight. But I don't know. I haven't had too many bets with him.
Tommy, you can't fix that, right? The tight asses, we all know one. You cannot fix them. They cannot be healed. They think they get away with it, don't they, Brian? They're always last to shout.
Yep.
They cannot be healed.
If you've got it in your blood.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. You never change.
Mm.
You never change. Hey, Tommy, tell us about playing centre in the NRL. It's a different position to when Sugar and I played. What's the hardest thing you've found playing in the centres?
Well, we've at the Cow sort of changed our defence a little bit. So, probably just defensively making decisions on when to jam and when not to jam and stuff like that. And I've only got a couple of sessions that actually train at centre, so I'm still sort of learning. And
Well, your preferred position is fullback. When Toddy Payton came to you and said, "Did you have any? Were you just jump like?" You jumped at the chance to play anywhere in that side?
Yeah, bloody oath. I don't really mind where I've played. I debuted in the middle, so it's better than that, playing out in the centre. So
Kyle, well, you know what's ironic, Brian? So that night he was down at the Strand for that grand final. Of course, Kyle Feltz scores that famous try.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy Chester's in that right centre position right now with Kyle Felt, that man outside. That must be quite bizarre, Tommy.
Nah, it is good. Feldy, he's a good fella. He's definitely good to be inside. He yarns a bit and tells you what to do, so he's good.
And how's Zachy Labatt? It's been confirmed it was an ACL, right? So the poor young fella's he's gone for the year?
Yeah, he is. You know, he's one of my best mates, and you know, it's pretty hard to see one of your mates get hurt like that. It's his second ACL as well, and you know, he's back home at the moment, and I think everything's gone all right for him. I haven't actually spoken to him too much at the moment, but last week he seemed all right.
You got change of a dollar?
No.
All I got are these damn Nepalese coins.
You've been to Nepal?
Okay. Any idea?
Not overly, but I'm going to say Happy Gilmore.
Oh, it's of that genre. Of that genre. Can we give him the hair gel? This is another
what
one.
What is that?
Hmm?
On your ear.
Ear?
No, your left ear. Is that a hair gel?
Okay. So she thought it was hair gel. We think it was Buffalo Lehman. Any idea, Tommy? Okay, I'll give you a hint. Cameron Diaz. You heard of Cameron Diaz?
No.
He's only 22, Brian.
Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz. Mm. She's an actress. She's blonde.
So there's a male actor there as well.
Yeah, and the male actor's Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller.
You know him?
No.
Oh, geez, Brian, we're getting old. Okay, let me ask you about Tommy Duffy, right? So...
About Mary anyway, Tommy. About Mary. That was the movie.
I noticed Tom Duffy. He played in the Australian Schoolboys in 2021. Is that about your vintage as well?
Yeah, he's 2 years younger than me, old Tommy.
2 years younger. So who were the gun players for the Schoolboy reps when you were coming through? So is that the likes of Toby Sexton, Hamiso Tabuai-Fadoa?
Tommy Dearden was the gun. Peter Sterling, old Tommy.
Tommy Dearden was the gun.
Yeah. We didn't have two. Brad Schneider was at Kerwin when I was there.
Reece Walsh, you'd be similar age to Reece too, wouldn't you?
He's a year younger than me, yeah. I played that, but.
There you go.
But yeah, I was never really in any of the sides or anything like that. I only made me school side in grade 12.
You're a late bloomer, Tommy. Well, best of luck, brother, this weekend. You're up against another young player,
Kaylee Rowe.
So yeah. You're going to have to be on your defensive best, I'd imagine. What have you been watching? The video on the Sharks. What do they do well?
We haven't done too much. We do that all tomorrow. All our video and stuff like that. So we haven't watched too much on at the moment.
Well, Brian, we'll meet him down at Northies Sunday night. What do you reckon?
Yes. Or I'll take you to Ravisi's at Bondi and you can meet a bloke called Trent Robinson. We'll just see what happens next year. We'll just play it by ear. I reckon you might get another house out of it.
Is that right? Which we won't have to renovate himself.
He won't be renovating it.
Yeah.
He won't be renovating it, my friend.
Hey, Tommy Chester, thank you for joining the Run Home with Joel and Fletch, mate. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Tommy.
Tommy Chester.
What a good young fella.
There's something, a little bit of X factor about the Chester, isn't there?
Yeah, we scored a try last week.
Yeah.
Good player.
Quick.
I think this could be for the Cows. Zaki Laybutt, unfortunately gone, but
yep.
Gifts, badly wrapped.
Yeah, that's right.
Tommy in.
Exactly right. G'day, lads. How you getting it? This Chester bloke sounds like a decent young fella.
Oh, he's a good fella.
Sticking behind the stumps.
Absolutely.
He's a keeper.
Tim Zura.
I like how you reference that too, Liam. Jeremy's got aubergines coming in. Show him the Ben Stiller nurse scene in Happy Gilmore, says Barnell. They don't know him now. They're very, very young. But there you go. 1300 01 1170.
What we might do next time, we'll change it. Let's change it to Show Me the Money. Let's change it to Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
Surely they get that.
Yeah. We might have to move it up about 10 years, Brian.
No, but that's the whole beauty of it.
Yeah.
We were watching movies when we were watching Caddyshack, which is before our time, but we didn't have the streaming services.
But all the options they have now, they haven't got time to get to all the old stuff. Just repeating the big news too, James Fisher-Harris. I can't believe this. And this is just testament to both clubs. I did say earlier, the Panthers, but also the Warriors. You know, the way they've kept that so quietly and then just bang, announced through the Warriors website, James Fisher-Harris signs from 2025 with the New Zealand Warriors for 4 years. What a great player he is. A Golden Boot winner. But Brian.
Yep.
There is a person who's on the line
who's
going to announce Wacky Team Wednesday, who he loves Brad Arthur, and he also he has an alignment to Penrith and a former alignment to the Warriors. And you're talking about whom and for what reason?
Well, the reason he would have made the team.
Yeah.
Brandy Alexander.
Correct.
So it was all something to do with alcohol. Brandy would have been straight in, but unfortunately he doesn't qualify. So we've got the next best thing. He's going to read out the team.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if he's there. He might be learning Japanese. He might be learning Japanese because I hear he's off to Japan.
I really think so.
Shortly. Konnichiwa, Brandy.
Hello, Fletch.
How you going?
I'm good.
Bit of OT for you, Brandy. We'll go tomorrow. Good.
Jolie, sorry.
I said a bit of overtime for you tonight, and we've got you again tomorrow. That's the mail.
Do you? What are we doing tomorrow?
Well,
tourists will let you know.
Yeah, it's part of your contract. Now, Brandy, okay. Are you fanning him going to Japan?
Yeah, next week, Fletch. Oh, yes. Awesome. My 16-year-old Beau's in the St. Augustine's firsts, and they've been picked. They pick a school out of Australia to go to Japan to play in this tournament where they get schools from England, from South Africa, from New Zealand, and they go over there and they play against 8 Japanese schoolboy sides. So it's like a tournament. So they play 5 games over there.
Yeah.
And they're there for 2 weeks. Me and Tan are going for 10 days, and I've never been to Japan, so yeah. It's pretty exciting.
I've never been either, Brandy. They reckon it's a fantastic country, the food. Okay, do you like, because I think you're a picky eater, aren't you, Greg? Do you like sushi? Do you like ramen?
No, I'm not big on the sushi, Fletch.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. What about smoked eel? You like smoking eel?
I don't think
Well, that sounds a bit sushi-like
No. It's a delicacy. Just you got to try it. When you're over there, Greg, you know what happens. You've got to get into the culture.
Yes.
You got to get
it. Fletch, I'll try anything.
I know. Stay away from the vending machines because you can get all sorts of trouble. You can get all sorts of trouble there.
I've heard they've got a wide array of products out of vending machines.
Everything. Used. Used and brand new. All right, Greg, have you got the team in front of you? Because we're going to have the music bubbling underneath you, and I'm going to make the announcement.
So just set the scene again, Brian.
All right. So
I'm ready to go.
Okay. So it was the wacky team for Wednesday was alcohol, beverages, drinks, anything to do with it. And Greg Alexander, take it away.
Okay. At fullback, we've got Bradley Cooper.
Bradley
Coopers. On the wing, the irrepressible Penny Wong.
Okay, now the reason I did that, there is that, honestly, this is fair dinkum. There's a nightclub in Adelaide and they've got the Penny Wong cocktail. Mm. So there you go.
How good.
Yep, centres.
How good. Alexander Vodkinos.
Yes.
Very clever, Fletch.
That's not me. It's a listener.
In the centres alongside Vodkinovsky is Jimi Hendrix.
Correct. Nice. With different spelling, I-C-K-S, which is named after the gin.
On the other wing, I'd say she's a left winger. It's the Bloody Mary Fowler.
Yes. Yeah, she can kick baby.
You're an idiot. At 5'8", my favourite, Whiskey Hyman.
Yes. That wasn't me. That was one of the listeners.
Yes.
Yeah, the general is Amy Winehouse.
Absolutely.
Number 7.
Yeah, good choice.
Up front, we've got Mai Tai Tuivasa.
Yeah. Who's your hooker?
On the other side, the opposite front rower is Ted Bundy and Coke.
Yeah, who's your hooker? I want to know who your hooker is.
The number 9 is Dark and Stormy Daniels.
Right, okay. So she'll be playing hooker. She'll be playing the role because we can put her at 6 as well.
Oh, 6 and 9.
So she can play 6 or 9. Very, very good.
In the back row, we've got Luke Beveridge.
No. Sorry. He's been ruled out.
Who's come in?
Barry Tuohy's.
Oh, good.
Barry Tuohy's.
And he reported himself at the late mail.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
Beveridges are scratching.
Yep.
Tuohy's comes in. In the partnering Tuohy's in the second row is Mitchell Beer.
The horse trainer.
Mitch Beer.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the back of the scrum and the captain, Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
Captain Morgan
Freeman.
Yes.
Well done, Greg.
Read out by who, Brian? Read out by who?
Read out by Brandy Alexander.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Okay, boys, that's fantastic.